live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Saturday night. And Dustin Wolf in Winnipeg was spectacular, and he was the driving force behind a 3-1 Flames win on the road over the Jets. Welcome to our Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg, and Megan Mickelson with us as well, the color voice of the Flames. Mick, our marquee matchup on the pregame show brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were talking about, hey, opportunity to wrap up this road trip with a win. You could tell the Flames were dog tired. You could tell this was the fourth game in six nights again, and the fifth and eight. They battled, but boy, Dustin Wolf was incredible. Mick, final high dangers tonight. 16-4 Winnipeg, including 13-3 at 5-on-5. Flames haven't stolen a lot this year, but Dustin Wolf pretty darn near stole one tonight. He was spectacular, and the Flames find a way in Winnipeg.
Yeah, isn't it funny how, you know, teams can get outchanced in that way and still come out on top with a win? And, you know, I still have to give the Flames a lot of credit. I think in this one, they were able to find some offense 5-on-5. It was a nice goal by Matt Coronato. Beautiful pass by Blake Coleman on the play as well. And then, you know, a guy like Andre Kuzmenko, who hasn't scored in what feels like forever, but the power play coming through. The penalty kill was really good, largely in part because of the play of Dustin Wolf. He was just so elite. I think, you know, what stood out to me on the PK was just, you know, we always talk about how smart he is and the anticipation and the reads in his game that allows him to get cross crease and make saves. And we saw that once again. So that really stood out to me as being a differentiator for the Flames on the penalty kill and finding success there. And then, you know, finding a way to just kind of weather the storm. But like you said, the high dangers were, I mean, the Flames still having a hard time getting to the middle of the ice against teams that defend really well. So I think that's an area that you continue to work on and try to improve upon. But yeah, I mean, I heard you mention earlier that, you know, dare you say that was Dustin Wolf's best game as a member of the Flames. And I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm not sure that we've seen a performance from start to finish quite like that from Dustin Wolf. There's absolutely no chance for him on that tip from Adam Lowry, and just thought that he was absolutely dynamite and just really impressive. The fact that, you know, I talked to Adam Lowry this morning and he was talking about how, you know, we've been at home for 3 weeks. We feel really fresh and really rested, and you've gotten in lots of practice time and some good workouts and lifts, and you're sleeping in your own bed, and the Flames come flying in here with the travel and the schedule that they've had lately. And they pull off a win like that. So just an impressive way to end off the road trip.
Marquee matchup and a successful one for the Flames as they do close out the road trip with a victory. The marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until July 2025. Just before we let you go, Mick, hardest working Flame, which way are you leaning tonight?
Well, it's an easy one. I'm going to give honorable mention, though, to Blake Coleman. I thought that he was really, really good in this game and a huge reason why the Flames ended up winning. Just a couple of really elite passes on the assists. And, you know, the goal that he scored, yeah, it's an empty net. It's nothing fancy, nothing flashy, but it's a big one at the end of a game like that with your goalie or the opponent's goalie pulled. So thought that he was really strong, but it has to go to Dustin Wolf. I mean, there's no chance that the Flames win this hockey game without him, without his stellar play. So Dustin Wolf tonight.
Dustin Wolf, the hardest working Flame. See you next week, Mick. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson wrapping up from Winnipeg, where the Flames take a 3-1 win over the Jets, and they do it on the back of Dustin Wolf, as he was outstanding. And again, I really do believe that is the best effort we've seen from Dustin in a Flames jersey, and he's had some good ones, don't get me wrong, but that is number one. And the amount of quality stops he had to make tonight, and the amount of the amount of time the Flames were on their heels and kind of running around in their own zone. Now, that could have been like that first period in St. Louis on Thursday night where Wolf wasn't on his game and wasn't, you know, up to his regular standards. Well, we know how mentally dialed and how mentally tough this guy is, and I don't think it's a surprise that he bounced back as effectively as he did. I don't think it's a surprise that he was much better tonight and on his game the way that he was after a night that wasn't so good. Every goal, it doesn't matter if it's Vasilevsky or Hellebuck or whoever you want to point to, every goalie in this league is going to have a rough night. Every goalie in this league is going to have multiple games throughout a season where they're not on their game. Well, if you're going to be using Dustin Wolf like a one and you're going to roll him out there like a number one, you also have to let him bounce back when he doesn't have as good a night. And Thursday wasn't as good a night. Tonight, right back to the type of Dustin Wolf that we've seen all year long. And on top of that, an even better version of the Dustin Wolf that we've seen all year long. Hey, Flames Talk postgame show is underway on this Saturday night. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Got a couple of lines open if you want to chat this evening. And the text line open at 960-960. Lots to get to on our Flames Talk postgame show. We got plenty to get to on this Saturday. Flames Talk postgame is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll go inside the Flames dressing room. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska and a whole lot more when we come back. This is your Flames Talk postgame show following a 3-1 win in Winnipeg. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Flames win it 3-1 on the road in Winnipeg on the back of Dustin Wolf, who was outstanding, 38 of 39, as the Flames finish this road trip 2-2 and finish the night in a playoff spot in the Western Conference. Let's go from the Flames dressing room right now, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And now, here's head coach Ryan Huska post-game following a 3-1 upset win in Winnipeg tonight.
Coach, what did you like most about the way your group went about its business tonight?
Hey, we hung in there. One, we got a power play goal from Cousy, which was, I think was an important thing for us as a team, but also him as a player. I think the other thing that we can build on is we had a night where we had a clean sheet on the penalty kill, and we haven't had that in a little while, so there's a positive. And then, hey, the third period was a tough period for us. But you can see why they're a good team. They pushed in the third period, and when we needed him, our goaltender was our best player tonight.
He really was, wasn't he? I mean, 38 saves, I think that's the best he's done. But he did it in a pretty hostile environment against one of the best teams in the league. What can you say about his performance overall?
Kind of like we were hoping we would get out of him. The last game that he played in St. Louis, there was a couple goals that we felt went by him that aren't typical goals that beat him. So his track record, whether it's the American League or at this level, is after a game that he may not be happy with, he comes back with a really good one, and we did get that from him tonight.
Does a goal like Kuzmenko's make him or reinforce your message, just fire that thing?
I hope so. I mean, hey, you look at the shot, right? And that's he's a smart player, so sometimes he likes to have people around the net when he shoots the puck because he feels like there's a greater chance for it to go in, which totally makes sense. But I look at his shot as a bit of a weapon that could create some second opportunities as well if it doesn't happen to go in. But scored a big goal for us tonight.
And Coronado is just automatic. He gets that thing and it's gone.
It's the quick release. You know, he works to get to his spots in a hurry, and he has a real quick release. And again, it was very similar to the goal he scored at home a few games back, that it's on and off his stick right away before the goalie's really expecting it.
Was it about weathering hump, or was it to weather the storm in the first period with, you know, issues in your own end and, you know, in a hostile environment?
Yeah, well, important. I mean, you know the way they're going to play here. This is probably the best team in the league right now, and you can see why. They have good depth through their lineup, and they play the game with pace. And I thought after we got through that first penalty or power play, we started to settled down a little bit. And I thought our second period was better. And as I said, I thought they pushed in the third, and we found a way to hold on.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska. Just wrapped up postgame in Winnipeg following this 3-1 win over the Jets. And, of course, Dustin Wolf, the story of this one, as he was spectacular in Winnipeg. A lot's been made about the road save percentage for Dustin Wolf. Well, it'll go way up after this game tonight. Let's hear from Dustin postgame. 38-39 for Wolf after a 3-1 win for the Flames.
What does it mean for you guys to be able to come in here after this long road trip and beat the number one team in the West?
Yeah, no, it feels good. We wanted to bounce back from our last effort. Obviously, we didn't like our first period, and on a personal level, I didn't either. And so I get an opportunity to go right back in there and beat the team that's scoring a lot of goals, and they've put up a lot of points in the standings so far to start. And this one feels good.
You were pretty critical of your game. You stopped 38 shots tonight. I imagine you're a lot happier with how you played.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you win, it's a good day. I think it's a good opportunity to get in there. Again, like I said the other day, just kind of focus on slowing down, being more patient, and that's all it is. There's such minor things that creep into your game every so often, and just kind of revert back to the basics, get back to the way you know how to play, and obviously super glad we were able to get those 2 points.
New season high in saves for you, a couple off your career record, and against the team that's scoring the most goals in the league. Not a bad night's work.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I mean, they threw a lot of pucks at the net, and gladly I was able to see most of them, and it doesn't matter how many shots they put on it. If we score one more goal than them, the whole team is going to probably be pretty happy and have a happy flight home.
Can you describe that first period? I mean, your team had some giveaways and you really had to stand tall with some challenges there.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of the game. There's going to be chances both ways, and probably a little more, a few more turnovers than we want, but that's hockey for you. It can go either way where we can have those chances going for us, or we can have them going against them. It's glad we just got those 2 points and now we can go home.
Pretty good birthday present for your goalie coach.
Yeah, you should have seen the photo here we had in the room. It's a little draft photo, and that was great. And get a couple days off here.
Malvo said this was a bit of a litmus test for you guys coming in tonight. Do you feel like it was when you go and beat a team that's tops in the West, tied for tops in the league?
Sure. I mean, this is a great opportunity for us to kind of show what we're made of. There's a lot of belief in this room, and there's some games that maybe we're not super happy with our performance or our start, or not putting together a full 60. And I think today was a great example of we just hung around. We scored one more than them. That's hockey. It's the best part about it is it can go either way, and glad we're on the good receiving end of 2 points tonight.
There you go, Dustin Wolf, post game following his 38 save effort. And yes, you heard Ryan Leslie ask the question. Happy 45th birthday to Flames goaltending coach Jason LaBarbera on top of all of that. That's your look from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Not done on the goaltending front yet, because Dustin Wolf was very much the story in this game tonight, and so will continue to be the story, I imagine, of our post-game show. By the way, this is your Flames Talk post-game show. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444, and the text line's open at 960-960. If you want to chat this evening, give us a call or fire us a text. We got lots to get to on a Saturday night following this 3-1 win for the Flames. It's time for the save of the game now, brought to you by Shane Holmes. There were plenty of candidates tonight, but save of the game tonight comes in period number three.
Stepping into the high slot is Connor, moves it near side to Scheifele. Scheifele down low, gets it back from Vilardi. Shifley back to Velarde, out in front. Connor, a one-timer. Wolf gets across his crease and makes a huge save.
Another spectacular save from Dustin Wolf. That one in the third period. That's his save of the game. Brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com. The better way to build. And I would assume that, especially after a night like this, it's just automatic that you go back to Wolf for Calgary's next game. Flames will be off on Sunday, then they'll practice Monday for sure, not sure about Tuesday. They'll practice again Wednesday and then play the Buffalo Sabres on home ice Thursday. And I think it would just be with his home ice numbers, with the way that he played tonight, would seem like absolutely automatic that you go to Dustin Wolf again. It's the start of another 3-4. So how about this? The Flames just finished 5 of 8. Then they get 4 days without a game. Then another 3-4 with travel between every single one. They're at home to Buffalo. Then they're into Minnesota, Winnipeg, Saturday and Sunday. So I would imagine you go Wolf on the Thursday and however you want to split them on Saturday, Sunday, Wolf, Ladar, Vladar, Wolf. Maybe you give Ladar the first half of the back-to-back. I don't know. Or maybe you keep on going with giving Wolf the first side of it. Doesn't really matter, but definitely, I think it's pretty automatic. You're going back to Wolf for Thursday against the Buffalo Sabres. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight, because honestly, there's not a whole lot else to talk about. A couple of other notes from this game that I think are important. Andre Kuzmenko scores the power play goal. That's big because he hasn't scored in 28 prior. So snaps a 28-game goal to Strout with the eventual game winner. You heard Ryan Leslie ask Ryan Huska about maybe that gets him shooting it a little bit more. And honestly, that's why everybody continues to say, why don't you just shoot the puck? Because he's got maybe the hardest shot on the team, or at least the hardest shot amongst a forward, the hardest non-slap shot on the team. If you're the Flames, keep on drilling that home. Play that over and over and over again. Now, Kuzmenko's thought has always been, or feel has always been, that he needs to... He's only going to take shots if he feels it's a scoring chance. He feels it's a wasted shot if it's an outside shot or there's not traffic in front. And so on this one, great pass from Blake Coleman away from pressure over to the weak side, finds Kuzmenko in stride, and Kuzmenko, that was a scoring chance, right? That was a high-quality opportunity. He stepped into it and absolutely nailed it past Eric Comrie. But still, when you've got a shot as lethal as Kuzmenko's, you want to keep seeing him use it more. He has one shot, two attempts in this game tonight, but at least one goes in. Maybe that does open the floodgates. I don't know. He's a tough player to wrap your head around, and I have no idea if this will open up the floodgates for Kuzmenko, but definitely nice to see. And then on the other side, you've got Coronado, his shot, two shots, four attempts from Matt Coronado tonight, and he just continues to be a guy that relies on his shot, knows that his shot is a good one, and knows that it can beat NHL goalies. And again, Blake Coleman finds him in a soft spot in the offense, and he makes no hesitation to rip that past Eric Comrie this evening. Okay, let's get to the text line now at 960-960 for the first time tonight, and then to the phone lines for the first time. Now, Wedley says, big game for the goalie that's apparently too small, Pat. Great win, Flames. That's Wedley up to no good in Bridalwood. This says from Nick, Wolf, Coleman, Coronado in that order. Love seeing how this team deals with adversity. That comes from Nick. This reads from Scotty, who's usually Scotty in Victoria, but today Scotty in Maui. Great road battle by the boys. It always amazes me how good they can play against the league's top teams. To be honest, I counted them out against the Jets after the St. Louis sweep. Highlights include Coronado continuing to be a snipe show, Kuzmenko getting the monkey off his back with a gorgeous goal, and Wolf with an impressive 38-save game. Very impressed. Now let's see if Washington can upset the Detroit Lions. That's going on as we speak right now. I mean, did they play all that well tonight? I mean, not particularly, honestly. This was not a night where you're like, oh, they went toe-to-toe with the Jets. They battled hard, don't get me wrong. Taking into account everything that was working against them in Winnipeg's barn, against one of the best teams in the NHL, in their fourth game in 6 nights and fifth game in 8 nights, They were the betting underdogs for a reason tonight. And honestly, they looked like a tired team. They didn't defend very well at all. They didn't generate much at all, but they were opportunistic and got incredible goaltending and won the special teams battle. And honestly, this is maybe the first time all year where the Flames have truly stolen a game. I don't know if there's been a game this year where you can say the Flames were the second best team for most of the night, but still came away with the win. And you have to win games like that once in a while. If they're going to be a playoff team, and I know there's differing opinions as to whether or not they will be a playoff team or not, or should be a playoff team or not, rather, there's differing opinions on that and whether that's best for the team or not. And I know that's going to be a hot topic as we move towards the end of the season. But if they're going to be where they want to go, and where they want to go is the playoffs, well, you have to find ways to win games on your C nights or your D nights. And on this night, the Flames, yeah, they looked like they were completely out of gas, but their goaltender kept them in it. Kuzmenko, some fresh life or fresh legs, gets in there, scores a big goal. Thought Coleman was flying all night. But, I mean, most of the guys look tired tonight, and they've got a four-day rest now. So to get these 2 points going into that four-day rest, you'll take it. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the Flames. I'm actually, this is a night where I give them a lot of credit because every team goes through this, and lots of teams don't find ways. And, you know, the goaltender plays for the Flames, too. The goaltender wears the same sweater. He's one of the teammates. He counts against the cap the same way anybody else does. And sometimes you need to rely on your goaltender. And tonight they did, and they did enough offensively to get it done. And they get a big couple points to guarantee they stay in a playoff spot. This says from Andy, Pat, I have to be honest, even with the Jets backup in, I didn't think they'd come out with the W. Good to see Kuzmenko getting a goal after 28 without shooting a shot, it feels like. I'm sure he did once or twice, but if the Flames had won one of the two games against the Blues, they'd be 5 points up again. Instead, they're only three. I know the Canucks have to have the scoring talent to surpass the Flames in the standings if they get it together, but I hope they won't. I want to make it clear that I wasn't trying to hang Backlund on the line last game's mistake, and he made it sound like I had a mob ready to lynch him. My point was cleaning up the clearing attempts and not trying to crucify backs. Anyway, surprised they won against the Jets. That comes from Andy on Treaty 7. If I did that, I apologize. Was definitely not the intention, Andy. This from Mike says, if, I like this, I think if anyone calls in and question Wolf's size, you should consider blocking them. Based on his draft place, he should win the Calder. When you're drafted number one, it would be a higher chance to win it. That comes from Mike in Calgary. And just, I don't think where you're drafted should have anything to do with who wins the Calder Trophy. Calder Trophy should be the best rookie in the NHL. And Dustin Wolf has been one of the best rookies in the NHL. And I think is on pace to be one of the Calder Trophy finalists and should be one of the Calder Trophy finalists if he continues to play at this level. This from Trent. Good road win, Patty. Great game from Wolf. Nice to see Kuzmenko score again. I really hate seeing someone like him sitting and eating popcorn all the time. He's actually played pretty well defensively despite not scoring. I don't hate the guy, but if they want to keep him, they need to play him. Coronado's a similar forechecker to Pospisil, and I think he's best suited to take that spot on Kadri's line. Pelche, I don't think that guy is that guy, but just my opinion. What else we got here at 960? This says Wolf's too small. The Wolf slanderers in shambles tonight. Yeah, if you're a anti-Wolf guy, what do you have to say after that game? Murray in the Ranchland says Wolf has been less sheltered recently and has been given the chance to be the Flames' number one. Tonight, we learned that he can not only rebound from a substandard game, but stole the game under the spotlight of Hockey Day in Canada. I think they found their franchise goaltender. I am always loath to make definitive statements like franchise goaltender, stuff like that. However, I think the Flames have found their franchise goaltender too. I'm quite confident in that. And there might still be growing pains along the way. Like year two for Wolf full-time in the NHL might not be as good. You never know because it's a very, very unpredictable position. But if you ask me, 100% I believe the Flames have found their franchise goaltender. And he just displayed again why in this game this evening in Winnipeg. So, yeah. I really do think they found it, and I think that what we saw tonight, to Murray's point, was another example of just the discovery process about him. In that, okay, had a rough night against St. Louis Thursday. Well, he bounces back with just a sparkling performance tonight. He's taking on a workload that's pretty heavy right now. Just off the top of my head, because he started that game in St. Louis. Just going to go quickly back and check. So he just started his 11th game in 15 and 6th start in 7. So he's taken on a pretty heavy workload, and he's doing pretty well. I believe now since that stretch where it's 11 of 15, he would be, just off the top of my head, 8-2-1 in that stretch. So, yeah, not bad. Not bad for Dustin Wolf. I think it was CMP Dave on Twitter that I saw say, if the Flames lose their top 10 pick in this draft, be at the expense of Dustin Wolf turning into a franchise goalie, I think that's a little easier to swallow, basically, to paraphrase what he said. And I think that's a really fair point. That top 10 pick would be nice. Don't get me wrong, and the Flames are very aware that losing that is not the ideal, but if they make the playoffs largely on the back of Dustin Wolf, which if they do, I think he'll be the driving force as to why they're there. If that ends up happening, then I think there's a pretty positive story for the future and trying to build this team to what they might, what they want to turn into down the road. If Dustin Wolf turns into your franchise goalie, well, now you've found one of your core pieces, one of your foundational pieces, right? This reads, if any organization, and especially the management who witnessed firsthand the goaltending making up for all the team's weaknesses for years, let's hope they can see through this and not mortgage in future for short-term games. Waste of 8 days in the playoffs coming. Definition of insanity, the Calgary Flames. I do agree that the Jets were the better team tonight, but goaltenders help you win playoff series too. So I think that's an important important kind of rebuttal to that. In saying all that, I don't think the Flames should be mortgaging the future in any way, shape, or form between now and the trade deadline. I really do not. This from Jeff in Lethbridge. Kiprasov-esque performance by Wolf tonight. Looked like a star goalie. Bodes well for the future. Their offense is sorely lacking with Zeri injured. Kuzmenko getting hot would be a huge boon, so hopefully his play from tonight continues. This reads, Pat, the faceoff performance, especially from Backlund, is becoming a real concern. He lost 5 straight D-zone draws in the third, and that could have easily changed the outcome of the game if not for Wolf's stellar play. Defensive zone faceoff losses often lead to sustained pressure and high danger chances, which the Flames can't afford to keep giving up. Backlund needs to let Coronado take draws on his weak side. Coronado has shown promise in limited faceoff opportunities, and splitting the responsibilities could help improve possession and outlets in these critical areas. What do you think? Tonight, Coronado did not take a faceoff. It is something that I think the Flames have looked at. We've seen Coronado take some faceoffs, and also I think it's something they will continue to look at because they don't have a right shot option on penalty kills or on icings when the other team can choose what side to take the faceoff on. And with only left shot options down the middle, well, they're always going to put them on the weak side. And so at least on Backlund's line with Coronado, if he continues to work on his face-off work, it gives you an option. So to that point, yes, I do think that's something they should continue to look at. They've looked at it already. We've seen it at times already. But I think it needs to be something they continue to look at. When it's all said and done tonight, Flames were 49% in the face-off dot. Actually better than I thought it was going to be. Backlund ended up going 7-10. Kadri took the other bulk of the faceoffs. He went 8-8 this evening. Dylan says, Pat Wolf's too small. I just wanted to say how awesome hockey day was. My sister lives in Canmore, and the event got to both of her kids' schools, rather. Neither of them are sports fans, but they both seem to be pretty heavily impacted by the whole event. Love that stuff, especially the part where Lanny chirped everyone he could all weekend. What a gem. Glad he got to be there, too. It is in your backyard, after all. And this one actually is in my backyard, Dylan. Ash says, Another amazing performance by Wolf, with the Flames now not playing until Thursday. I wonder if we'll see either Rooney or Dewar go on waivers. Regarding a possible Rooney replacement, I wouldn't mind the Flames trading for often healthy scratch Shark center Nico Sturm, only because he apparently has the best faceoff percentage in the entire league, which could be an asset for the Flames' suspect penalty kill. Finally, regarding a possible name for Megan's segment on your show, I was thinking Mic'd Up, play on words for Mic'd Up. I wonder if she'll like that one. I'll run it by her. I don't mind that at all. It's better than some of the other submissions we got, or better than some of the ones AI came up with that I threw in there. There were some horrible ones that AI came up with. And by the way, I don't love the Sturm option only because he's also a left shot, Ash. If they're going to get a center, I think it needs to be a right shot. I really, really do. This from Mike. Gutsy effort by a very tired group of Flames. Wolf definitely stole the game. Another great game by Rasmus. I hope the Flames do not move him and he decides to re-sign. Calgary fans are always talking about getting so-called franchise players. Well, Rasmus Anderson's a franchise player, 40-plus year Flames fan. Mike. This reads, the boys better buy Wolf a cold one. Just give him the Calder already. Cheers, Pat. Have a great evening. This from another Murray. Pat, that's how you beat a number one team, with the win the goalie battle and the special teams battle. Let's go for the playoffs. And that's good cross-section of the text line so far at 960-960. Keep the text coming. 960-960 this evening. Flames win it 3-1 in Winnipeg. Dustin Wolf, spectacular against the Jets as the Flames finish off this road trip 2-2 and ensure they'll stay in a playoff spot going into Sunday. Pat Steinberg on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Let's say hello to Niels on the phone line. You're kicking us off tonight following a 3-1 win. What's up, Niels?
Oh, well, it's great to be talking to you again. It's been a couple of months. Like I said before, you know, the Flames are battling. We're sitting, 3 points up on the next closest team for the wildcard spot. An excellent effort tonight from the team. I honestly thought they were going to lose as well, but I also expected that they would have done better in St. Louis. I think both goaltenders have been playing very good. It's just been the play in front of them that unfortunately have led to some losses. But overall, the effort is there. The team that everybody said was going to finish 30th or worse is still in a playoff spot, and that's what really counts. But moving forward, like, there's talk of trades, okay? What is your feelings on maybe reaching out and seeing if Chicago would send Seth Jones our way?
No thanks.
No?
No. Okay. I hate that contract. I really do.
The contract, but I've always enjoyed watching the kid play. He, you know, like when he played in junior and then through his time in Columbus and stuff like that. I mean, you know, just in the right environment, he could do so much, you know, as a defensive player. And he's not afraid to lay the lumber once in a while either.
I don't dispute that Seth Jones is a decent D-man at all. I just hate the contract that expires in 2030 at $9.5 million. I don't want any part of that.
That makes perfect business sense in that. Now, I live out here on the coast in that, and there, you know, like there was talk tonight of JT Miller sitting down because they got a trade in the works.
There's been lots of talk about that, about JT Miller possibly being dealt. He is playing, and he's in the starting lineup, in fact, for the Canucks. As we're talking right now, they are underway with the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, that's an interesting one to keep an eye on for sure. I don't think that JT Miller is a fit with the Flames, but I'm curious to see, because Vancouver is the team that I think is most likely going to be the one that the Flames battle with for the rest of the year. I'm really interested to see what happens in Vancouver and you know, if JT does end up being dealt or not.
Well, and I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago that works with that team. And, you know, there's even talk that, you know, the coach of the reigning coach of the year, that the players are tuning him out.
Yes, I have read that. I have no idea how accurate that is, and I'm not saying it's not. I just, you know, I don't know. It's we know enough about what's going on with JT and Pettersson, and we know enough about JT being the type of guy that definitely wears out a welcome in a locker room. It's kind of been his MO everywhere. So maybe a little less surprised and a little easier to believe what's happening there. I find it a little harder to buy in that Rick Tocchet has completely lost the room after what they did last year, but I'm not saying it's false either, right?
It seems to be the coach of the year curse, if you will. The one thing that this person told me too was, you know, if JT Miller goes and they get, you know, they choose Pettersson over Miller, that the worry is that, you know, they're going to go back to that country club atmosphere that was there when Tocchet took over.
And I get that because JT competes. JT's a tone setter. He's a hell of a hockey player. By no means am I trying to throw shade at JT when I say that, you know, he wears out welcomes in locker rooms. It's just, you know, you've heard from enough people about how difficult a guy he is to play with. It just is, it's, you know, at some point it's not a coincidence when it happens again, right? That's my only thing that I'd say about JT Miller.
And I agree with that. But the one thing, back to the Flames, I am very, very satisfied overall with everything that's happening. I think we've got good goaltending on both sides of it. You know, we have a few games where the team, as a team, they don't step up. But then they step up tonight and do exactly what they have to do in order to beat, you know, one of the toughest teams in the league and stay in a playoff spot. At the end of the night, we're still going to be in a playoff spot, regardless. And, you know, there's nothing but brightness ahead. We've had injuries to some key people. We've had a couple of the young players that have, you know, jumped up from the farm and jumped in like they, you know, they've always been there. And I hope that continues on. And I think the management of the team has done a great job in developing that young talent. And, you know, a couple of years from now, when we move into the new building, I mean, we're going to have a team that's going to be contending for the Cup.
That's the hope. I mean, they still have some, if you ask me, there's still a couple of foundational things they'll need to figure out before I can say that for sure. Number one, finding a center like that is non-negotiable in my eyes if they're gonna be a true Cup contender. But
it is for every team.
Exactly. And they don't have that right now. So no. That is something that they're absolutely gonna have to find. But it feels like they found their goalie. And maybe in Zane Parekh, they found a foundational piece at forward as well. So I'd rather a defense as well. So we shall see, friend.
Yeah, one last thing. Excellent job by Sportsnet and CBC and you guys and everybody involved with Hockey Day in Canada. It has been amazing. The stories, the backgrounds, plus the games, you know, especially the Flames game, you know, just great hockey. So thank you very much, and keep up the great work. We'll touch base soon.
Thanks, Niels. Great to chat with you. As always, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 on this Saturday night as the Flames take a 3-1 win over the Winnipeg Jets on the back of an outstanding night from Dustin Wolf. Let's say hello to George. What's up, George?
Hey, not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, boy, that phone is horrible tonight. But I'm good.
Oh, boy. Man, I was told it was good.
Then you were lied to. You're a filthy liar. This phone is terrible.
Let's not blame Connor now.
I always want to blame Connor. That boy needs to be put in his place. Kidding, he's one of the absolute best.
Connor,
I love him to death.
Buddy. That's my boy right there. All right, well, I know the Calder race is pretty tight right now as it moves along, but I'll say this. If the Flames make the playoffs, in my opinion, I think Wolf has to win the Calder, because if they make it, it will be largely on his back. I mean, it's no offense to anybody else on the team.
What if Montreal makes it?
That's a fair argument, because who's their starter right now? Is it that kid?
No, I'm not talking. I'm not talking goalies. I'm talking about Lane Hutson, who's having just an incredible year on defense for him.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, Patty. It's a fair argument.
And I love the idea of Wolf being right in it for the Calder. I think there's plenty to suggest that, like right now, to me, it's a three-horse race, and there's still a little bit less than half a season to go, but I think it's Hudson, I think it's Celebrini, and I think it's Wolf. And I think Wolf will get the votes to, at the very least, be a Calder finalist.
Yeah. We'll see. The thing is, too, with Calgary, like I said, their highest point getter right now is projected to get, what, 63, 64 points?
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine them making the playoffs with that kind of offense? Like, surely it's going to be the goaltending that's the catalyst.
Well, look, I mean, Wolf's been their MVP to this point, and if they get in, I'm quite confident it'll be because Wolf remains their MVP. So I think that in some voters' minds, I don't vote, right? You don't vote. So it's just guesswork, but I think in some voters' minds, the fact that if they got in and largely or primarily on the back of Wolf, I think that'll go a long way in some voters' minds.
Yeah, and regardless of whether it happens or not, this was another landmark game for me for Dustin Wolf. This was another one of those eye-opening moments that lead you closer and closer to believe that he will be a franchise goalie. You've been saying it, you know, you believe it's going in that direction. I believe it's going in that direction. And when he has games like this, performances like this, it keeps you and makes you more and more optimistic. It's super exciting, Pat. We've been waiting for this for such a long time. And to think that it could very well happen off a kid that we drafted in the seventh round that was four picks away from going undrafted, it's absolutely remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one good thing. Another good thing was I was extremely happy when I saw it finally go in for Andre Kuzmenko. I really hope this gets him going even a little bit because we need all the offensive help we can get right now. And it's like simple, right? He has that lethal shot. He shoots it. I mean, that was perfect. Comrie had no chance on that. And, you know, you hope it can happen at this point because it has been such an awful year for that. And like I said, I've said it 1,000 times. I absolutely love the person. Like, he's a great guy. He's so talented. It's just the year's been what it's been. But, you know, hopefully it can continue from here on out. And if it doesn't, then he comes out and, you know, same old, right? Rinse and repeat. So we see there.
Yeah, and I have, honestly, I have no idea if this is going to get him going. And I don't say that to be a hater. I don't do that. I say that to be a skeptic. It just, I have no idea whether or not this gets him going because it has been, he's a full-on enigma, George. Like, I don't know what you're going to get from Andre Kuzmenko on any given shift or any given night. And hopefully this does get him going. Would be huge if it did. Would be huge for a, you know, pretty punchless offense, all things considered, for them to get that happening. But maybe it does, and that'd be great. And if it doesn't, I don't think anybody would be surprised either.
100%, Patty. And it's like you said, he is a full-on enigma. And for him to stay in the lineup now, I'm sorry, but it's on him. I feel like the coaching staff has given him ample opportunity this year to prove himself. It's not like one of those situations where he hasn't been given an opportunity. Like, I'm sorry, they have. Anybody who if there is anybody out there who thinks that they have it, then they're wrong. Plain and simple. This coaching staff has given him ample opportunity, chance after chance after chance. And, you know, he scored tonight. He played a pretty good game. It's on him to say, listen, this is it. I'm not coming out again. And, you know, if he regresses again, then that's on him. Plain and simple. You know, so we'll see. Rory Karen's still looking like he belongs in the NHL. You know, 4 points in four games from a guy that's, you know, never played in the NHL before, who's been playing in the AHL all year, and has played games in the ECHL. I mean, it's very impressive. I'm very happy for the kid. He is helping the team out right now. I really hope. I said it the very first game he played. I wanted to put it in the universe, and I'll do it again. I hope he doesn't go back to the AHL. I hope he's good enough that he can stay in the NHL, and I hope he can help this team going forward, especially with offense. And he's doing so far.
Yeah, so far, I don't think that there's would be any talk about sending him back. He's four games. He's been a decent contributor. And you know, points are a random thing, and points are a definitely a, you know, they don't always necessarily. Sometimes you get a bunch of points when you're not playing well and you're snake bitten and you're playing really well and you don't get any. But, you know, I don't think also you usually don't come into your first four NHL games and get four points and do that by fluking it. So made a great play. Like, that's a second assist on the Kuzmenko goal, but the goal doesn't happen if he doesn't make that great play. Like, that was a real savvy play by Cairns at the blue line to bring him in, and then a great pass from Coleman over to Kuzmenko. But Cairns made the play first. So, you know, he's been good. And obviously against Chicago, things are going to look a little bit easier. But for a guy that over the last three games has seen a little bit closer to 11, 12 minutes of ice time a game, got some power play time, I think he's done a good job. And I'm not taking him out anytime soon. It's a nice story so far.
It is. And what were we talking about there? What were you just talking about? You know what it was? It's hockey IQ. He's got a high hockey IQ. That's why he's where he's at right now. You know, everything else can improve, right? Everything else he can get better at. But he's got that sensibility about him, and that's why he can make passes like that. Like, it's exactly what you said. Yeah, sometimes you can. So in four games, you can fluke yourself in a way to 4 points. But I don't believe he's been doing that. He's earned every point he's gotten so far, right? So that's what impresses me about him. It's the way he plays. So, yeah, my man, listen, that's all I got for tonight. I hope you have a good one, and we'll talk very soon.
You as well, George. Be well, buddy.
Take care, my friend.
Thanks, man. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Following a Flames 3-1 win on the road in Winnipeg as we say hello to Fan. What's going on, Fan?
Hi.
How we doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
I'm good.
Big win, I guess. What you think, if you are Conrad, what you will do? With Flames.
In terms of what?
We are winning. We are in playoff. Right?
Right now they're in a playoff spot, yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So if you are Conrad, what do you do? We need to bring somebody in, or we just go and see what happens?
I mean, I think
it's just my question.
No, I get it. It's a fair question. It's a tough one because I think what they need to do is continue to keep their eye on the long-term prize, right? And that long-term prize is the 3 to 5 year plan and building for the long term. And so if they make any type of move, I think that they would need to make a move that helps them now, of course, but also helps them down the road. So like their biggest need is a right-handed center. There's zero doubt about it. So if they're going to get a right-handed center, I think it needs to be somebody who's in the 23, 24-year-old age range, so a young right-handed center, and those guys aren't necessarily easy to come by, fans. So I think that is kind of what the team's looking at right now. It's what I think they should be looking at right now. Any type of move that they should make, I think, needs to be focused on more than just this season and focused on the long term.
Thank you. And one more thing. Should Conroy go and get somebody to help out with the team? We are in the playoffs, so of course the team is going to need some kind of help. So he should get... I know we have cap space and things available. We should go for it, or what you think?
Again, I think if it's going to be, if they're going to go in and bring anybody in, it has to fit both. So I'm all for them making a move that helps them right now, as long as it also helps them down the road too, if that kind of makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's all my question.
Okay, fan, you be well, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Take care.
Okay, you as well. Keep the phone calls coming on this Saturday night following a Flames 3-1 win over the Winnipeg Jets. Phone lines at 403-240-4444. The text line remains open at 960-960. Let's say hello to Ryan. What's going on, Ryan?
It's my turn. How are you, Pat? Hey there.
Hi.
Yeah, there was a great reference I had to something that was gonna that you said on the podcast, and I totally forgot it. So,
oh darn,
out of luck here. How about that Dustin Wolf though? It was gonna be really good, I promise.
I believe you.
He's good at the goalie stuff.
Yeah, he's all right. Hey, by the way, he just as I thought about it, I went and I looked it up, and then I forgot. He upped his road save percentage to .892 after this game. It was down. Around like low 880s coming in, make 38 on 39, get that road save percentage up to .892. It's obviously not where his home numbers are, but if the second half of the season we see the road numbers really start to catch up, even in a small way, to the home numbers, even better on the Wolf front.
And with me being born in February of 89 minus 7 years, yeah, that's awesome. I get it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
a no comment.
No comment on that one.
It was great to see Andre score, especially after the lone goal in St. Louis was obviously, hopefully, a trending thing with Sharangovich in our Slavs and goals.
You hope so. You hope that, you know, Sharangovich, even without, I didn't like Sharangovich much at all tonight, but even knowing that, two goals in his last four games. Better than it was before that. So if it's every other game for Sharangovich, you'll take that if you're the Flames. That's important.
I've been waiting to jump on that prop, like a daily addiction or a gamely addiction, but I still haven't had the confidence.
What's your
Buccaneers and the doink there? That's no good.
I mean, they gave the game away far before that doink.
Well, yeah, but as a off-mention support of the Ducks, I mean, me being a Knicks and Herbert fan, the Broncos and Chargers both got doinked, and too much doinking, or a block, whatever.
Yes.
Oh, well. Or it's okay. And Bucky Irving being he played well.
Yeah.
Were you surprised with the nice bounce back, or were you expecting a consistently resilient
I wasn't surprised by a whole lot tonight. Like, I wasn't surprised by Dustin Wolf bouncing back. And I wasn't surprised that the Flames looked very much like they were running on empty again. I mean, they had their I'm not trying to be negative net over here, but they got their show ran for most of this game, and they relied on a big power play goal and a massive outing from Dustin Wolf. And honestly, there haven't been a lot of nights like this year. Most of the time this year, the Flames have won the games that they've been better in, and they've lost the games that they've been worse in. And there's one or two times when they have lost when they've been better. The most recent one was that last game against Nashville where they ran the show and they lost. And tonight they got their show ran kind of predictably. Fourth game in six nights, fifth game in eight nights. They were on their heels all night. They gave up way too much. They relied on Wolf a ton, but you kind of understand it. And sometimes you got to find ways to will in a few goals. You got to find a way to weather the storm. You got to find a way to not get completely into fire drill mode. And you've got to be okay letting your goalie have an outstanding game. Every team over 82 games has nights like that. And if you're going to be a playoff team, you've got to steal one every once in a while. So I don't look at, like, me saying that they got their show ran isn't me being negative. It happens to every team over the course of 82 games, and you've got to find nights when you've got your C or D game to still get one or two points out of it. And tonight the Flames got two in regulation. Like, that to me is a big win, even though it sounds like I'm being negative.
No, negative Ned, long contentious divorce from negative Nancy.
Yeah,
I acknowledge that. And I appreciate you hijacking the monologue there because you could tell I was empty. I'm a vessel here. So you just taking over the center. But that was good because that was going to be dead air. But amazing for just American mental health in general. I thought of what I was thinking of, and it turns out I wasn't supposed to call because it was regarding Sum 41 and that caller's appearance as an usher at said road trip. You know what I'm referencing?
Yes, absolutely.
Going to see Sum 41 on their farewell tour. I Google Calgary Settled Home Sum 41. I get the Interrupters as the opening band. Turns out that was a few months prior to this. Or actually, that was the American of the same tour. You had Gob
and Pup were the two Gob and openers
Pup.
Here.
Gob yeah. and Pup, yes. You had the All-Canadian
trifecta. Yeah, it was the All-Canadian pop-punk trifecta.
Yeah, the latest song from Pup, I believe, came out a couple days ago. I've grown very angry and malcontent in my elder years, misanthropic at that, but it's a little heavier. Maybe they're growing angry at themselves.
Well, hopefully. I don't know. Gob would probably be pop punk. Sum 41 definitely pop punk. I don't know if you'd put Pup right in that category. They're kind of pop punk adjacent.
They're
more alternative than pop punk.
Drop D pop punk, yeah, for sure. They're getting a little more. I don't know. It's a good song, regardless. The Interrupters, who are not relevant, I have connections to. So I was going to say, I know someone who does stuff. Regardless, a good game tonight. Apparently not, but I was doing the NFL cardio muted thing and just saw things doinking off posts and other posts. Poor Matthew, geez. Just things aren't going in well twice. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that was close. I had flashbacks to, obviously, 2003.
Okay, Ryan. Be well.
Sorry, Vessel. Have a good night, Pat.
Bye, buddy.
Take care.
403-240-4444. He always keeps me on my toes. I'll say that much. 403-240-4444. That's your phone number. Following a Flames 3-1 win over Winnipeg with Tito up next. What's up, Tito?
Mr. Patty, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. Long time no talk.
I know that. How you been, my friend?
I'm good, man.
I got a couple of things I need to say. One is kind of on topic, and one is just, it's on topic, but it's a little bit off topic. So it's kind of to the referees. I'll just talk about the referees. Now, I watched the last couple of games for the Flames, and there's missed calls here and there. Not only the Flames. I've watched a bunch of NHL games throughout the couple of days here, and there's a lot of missed calls, and I couldn't believe it. Like, what does it take for sports, let's say
Tito, I'm just gonna shut her down right there. Like, we don't need to get into an officiating conversation. Flames just
officiating. I'm just saying, what is it to take to have like a back room, three monitors of referees in the back with...
Tito, like, it's a conversation for, like, a general sports show. We're talking exactly. about a big Flames 3-1 win over the Jets.
Anyways, I'll come back to the Flames. That Rory Karens, man, if he works on his skating a little bit, my God, he's scary. I'm amazed the way that he sees the play before it happens, and he sees the players and stuff in the second goal, man, it wasn't for him getting into the zone, and that was amazing from him.
Yeah, it was a nice play, really solid play, and that's a guy with some good offensive instincts. And yes, his skating is not the best
exactly.
part of his game, and definitely something that he'll need to continue to work on. And honestly, he knows that. He's worked a lot with Danielle Fujita,
yes.
the skating coach of the Flames, who does just incredible work. And he'll continue to do that. Like, he knows that skating's not the strongest part of his repertoire, and that's okay. Because, you know, that's part of becoming a better player is working on the things they need to work on and not getting complacent. So that'll continue to be
exactly. And Dustin Wolf, he's getting better and better on the road. I like what I'm seeing from him. He's like the numbers are not there, but they're getting there. Like you said, slowly but surely. and I hope it gets better on the road. I don't know what it's about being at home, probably the food. I'm just saying, like, I love the way the team, the direction of the team, but up front, you know, I hope Craig Conroy could move some players. Not you know, just don't panic. Like, everybody's panicking. Oh, how about we get this guy? What about we get this guy? No. You know, we'll just slowly but surely until we get the new arena and stuff and build that team the right way. I know the draft pick for this year, the coming year, it's a lose-lose situation, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I guess kind of it is in that if they get the top 10 pick, it means they miss the playoffs. If they don't get the top 10 pick, it means that they have had to give it up to Montreal and get a worse pick than. So, exactly. I mean, I guess it is kind of a lose-lose situation.
Exactly. And I'm not going to be too mad about not them being able to make the playoffs this year, or I'm not going to be surprised if they're going to make the playoffs just because we're a low scoring team. You know, there's some pieces on this team could be moved, but not the deadline. Probably, like, if at the deadline we're close enough to being in the playoff spot, yeah, sure, why not? But for next year, you know, we could move a couple of pieces here, picks and some picks, and, you know, try to build the team towards being a stronger team than it is this year. That's all I have to say, Patty.
Okay, Tito. Good to hear from you, man. You be well.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Hey, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 on this Saturday night following a Flames. What was the final score tonight? Final score was 3-1. Flames over the Winnipeg Jets. Flames go 2-2 on this road trip. Stop their losing skid at 2 and take out the number one team in the Western Conference in the process. Dustin Wolf, spectacular. Gutsy effort in front of them, too. As, they battled through a lot. They battled through a ton of fatigue. They clearly were running near empty, but they still found a way to score a few goals, and Dustin Wolf did the rest from there. One of those goals off the stick of Matt Coronato in the first period. It was a beauty. Let's hear from him post-game inside the Flames locker room in Winnipeg.
What does it mean for you guys to come in here at the end of this road trip and take 2 points from the top team in the West right now?
Yeah, it feels good. It's an important game at the end of the road trip. They're a good team. I thought Wolfie played really, really good and gave us a chance to win. So definitely a great way to finish the trip.
You guys got that goal in the first period. You haven't had the lead a lot after the first period. What did that allow you to do the rest of the game?
Yeah, I think it's important, but I think for us, we just want to get to our game as quick as we can. I think when we have a good start and we play the way we want to play, we're a tough team to play against.
You've seen a lot of wins from Wolf, a lot of games from Wolf. Where would you say that one ranks?
That's up there. He was really, really good tonight. Made some huge, huge saves. So, not much more to say. He was really good.
Aside from the goaltending, why were you guys successful tonight?
I thought we got to our game. I thought we were hard in our battles. We had some good ozone shifts, and I think it's just about playing fast and moving our feet and getting to our forecheck, which is what we want to do. So just getting to our game as quick as we can.
We always hear about, you know, coaches wanting players who can shoot to do just that. Are you feeling more and more comfortable every time? Just, you know, a shooter's mentality, getting rid of it as soon as you can.
I don't know. I think, Michael and Blake do such a great job on the forecheck. I think the three of us as a line want to be good on the forecheck, want to turn pucks over. So I think when we can turn a puck over, we all know we want to get it to the net as quick as we can.
There you go. That is Matt Coronato post-game. Big goal from him is 11th of the year as he just keeps on shooting it. And Eric Comrie had no chance on that one as that shot was off his stick, off the post, and in a hurry as Matt Coronato continues to put up the points. His 11th of the season, made a 1-0, and then Andre Kuzmenko, who we will hear from in our final look inside the Flames locker room shortly, with the game winner on the power play in the second period. Okay, this is your Flames Talk post-game show on a Saturday night. Flames take a 3-1 win over the Winnipeg Jets, and we are available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get them. Phone lines open, 403-240
780-4444. Text line open at 960-960. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
3-1 final score. Flames beat the Jets tonight as our Flames Talk postgame show continues. It's Steinberg along with you on a Saturday night. And how about Andre Kuzmenko snaps a 28-game goalless drought with a big one in the second period tonight. It's your game winner on the power play, and he launched it to beat Eric Comrie, who, again, had no chance on it. What a shot from Andre Kuzmenko, and let's hear from him. Our last look inside the Flames locker room right now.
That win meant for your entire group. I mean, that's one of the best teams in the league, and you guys did it, what you did at in their building.
It's very important win tonight. Because this win, we need it. We need the power. We need the belief. Because really, we have a very great team. A lot of good players. And today, very good game for Wolfie. There's a lot of big saves. It's very important for us. And a good win against now the best team in the league. It's a very interesting game. It was.
How about for you personally? How good did that feel? I know it's never easy when you're in and out of a lineup, or maybe you're not getting the scoring touch that you want, but to get it tonight, the way you went about it, how good did that one feel?
It's a good question. About not easy, right? Yeah. This is terrible. For me, it's not easy, right? And keep working. Keep working. It's not easy for mentality. Yes, up, down, up, down. Lose a lot of games. It's not easy, but keep smile, keep working. You play with good team, great people, great humor. I like it. I enjoy this moment, but it's not hard, but okay. If for first moment in my career when it's terrible third season, is it very terrible for me? Is it 2 goals from 32 games? It's not my level. I understand. It's one positive moment about now is a bad line for me about my game. It's not who plays, yeah. Bad line to my game, but I understand. This is why I need it, because after every day I buy better. And a lot of gym, a lot of bikes. Very good moment for me, but it's so hard, but it's good for future.
Can you take us through just your goal and what you saw? Did the goalie give you a spot there to shoot at, or you just let it go?
It's good. Now I can smile.
Just yeah. One final thought on your goaltender. I mean, you mentioned him a moment ago, but how good was Dustin Wolf tonight?
No, amazing player, amazing goalkeeper. Probably I a lot of practice with him. I understand. Probably this year, maybe next year, he can be the best goalkeeper on the league, I believe, because he is unbelievable.
There you go. How about Andre Kuzmenko? Could be the best goaltender in the league on Dustin Wolf. And big goal from him. And the thing that I would say about Kuzmenko is, as hard as he is to figure out, and as hard as he is to wrap your head around, and as enigmatic as he's been, I think I said the same thing 3 times just using different words, but you know what I'm saying. This guy cares, and this guy wants to be a good teammate. Like, this is not a checked out, at no point has this been a checked out player. At no point has this been a guy going through the motions. At no point has this been a guy who just said, yeah, I'm waving the white flag, cash my paychecks, and go. And I know there have been many comments made suggesting that, but I talk to enough people inside this organization. I've seen enough with my own eyes, talked to enough teammates even. That's not the case. And so him scoring that goal, I think he's going to feel really good about because of 2 reasons. Number one, he scored, and that's important. He's a scorer. And so when you've had a large drought, finally getting one can be huge. But you know what else? I think the fact that he scored a game winner, and it was a massive goal for the team. That is what I think is maybe the thing that could buoy him, because
he doesn't get mad because he's not scoring and he only cares about his own points. He gets mad because he wants to. He gets mad because he wants to help his team. That's more of what we're talking about. Okay, to the text line we go now at 960-960. This is from Vince. Wolf was unbelievable, and the young guys, Coronado and Karens, 4 points in four games. I must say the Jets are for real. If they can win a round, they could be dangerous. That comes from Vince. This from Matt in Seton, who says, doesn't the future look bright, Pat? There's probably 25 to 27 other teams that would kill for what Calgary has moving forward, don't you think? I don't know. And I think with Wolf, maybe. With some of their young defense, there's a lot there. They still don't have their center to build around. And that, to me, remains a massive thing that they non-negotiably 1,000% need to find. They need to find it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They will not win a Stanley Cup or turn into a cup contender if they don't find their center. That's my opinion, but I'm quite steadfast in that opinion. So do I think that they have done a great job of turning their system into a much better one? Yes. And when you add Wolf into the conversation, I think there'd be lots of teams to say, yeah, it's not a bad team to start with, but they need to find that center. And right now they don't have it, and how they get it, that remains the challenge. This says huge game by Wolf. Unfortunately, goalies don't get considered because bad games affect the overall stat line for goalies more negatively than a couple bad games for a skater. A rookie skater could go on a 5-game pointless streak and still lead all rookies in scoring, and those 5 games are forgotten. A goalie has 5 bad games, and they start being referred to as average. The voters need to do their due diligence, but we know they won't. We'll see. We will see. But that's a big reason why maybe goalies haven't, or one of the reasons why a goalie hasn't won the Calder Trophy since Steve Mason did it. This says, do you think there's any possibility of a Wolf extension this summer? Give the man a blank check for 8 years. He's an absolute stud. Doubters are going to doubt. Is there a chance? Maybe. I don't know how much of a priority that will be. And long-term extensions for goalies are tricky because it's such an unpredictable position. I think you'd like to see a little bit more. I mean, is there a chance? Yes. I still wonder if the organization would like to see even more for year two next season before going down the extension road, or even start to determine what type of deal they want to do. Like, do they want to do a term extension? Or do they want to bridge them? And I think that some of those decisions could be made once they see him in the follow-up year, the sophomore season in the NHL. But do I think there's a potential? Yeah, I do. This says Conroy's built up the scouting team, and whether they lose the better pick to Montreal or not is irrelevant. There have been a lot of excellent players picked up with later picks, and with their scouting, it's proven to be pretty good. I don't agree that it's irrelevant. It's in my eyes, that comes from Rob. Rob, I don't agree that it's irrelevant, especially if it ends up being they're just on the outside and the pick changes, 10 to 20 selections or something like that. Is it irrelevant? In my eyes, no. Is it as big a deal as it's being made out to be? No, I also don't think that. And honestly, I never felt like it was a guarantee the Flames were going to be drafting in that top 10 and thus keeping their pick. And I say that because they had a much better team than some pundits were giving it credit for when they were choosing Calgary to finish at the very bottom of the standings. I never understood the 30th, 31st, 32nd type stuff when talking about the Flames. The roster at no point was bad enough. And so this was always going to be a possibility. They were going to be competitive. Not a guarantee, but a definitely a possibility. This says from Brad, everyone talks about Karen skating. Gretzky wasn't a very good skater either. Just saying. Okay, Brad. But fair. That you don't need to be an incredible skater. But it is still something he needs to work on. And this says, if it'll load, Sometimes this new text program, it's great, but sometimes it just like all of a sudden randomly decides to take 30 minutes to load one text. Stacy and Colin in Carndiff, Saskatchewan says they drove through some icy roads to get to the Flames game in Winnipeg tonight. Wolfie stood on his head, and it was great to post a win in that building. Jets fans couldn't do anything but admire his skill. Coleman helped out too. That's cool, and I'm glad you made it safe. Please drive safe if you're driving home tonight, though, because as we know, the roads are treacherous in many places in the middle of the winter. Okay, text line 960-960. Now back to the phone lines we go at 403-240-4444. Flames win at 3-1 on the road in Winnipeg, and we say hello to Russ. What's going on, Russ?
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Couple of things. I'm just sitting here watching the Edmonton-Vancouver game on TV with the sound off and just wondering who I should boo louder.
Between the Oilers and Canucks?
Yes. I hate them both. But I want Vancouver to lose because I don't want them to catch the Flames, and I want Edmonton to lose because I hate them more.
You know what? You can do whatever you want. You can, you know, just be angry at the result regardless. You could do that too. By the way, they're in the second period right now as we're talking right now. Obviously, if you're listening on podcast, this has less relevance, but it is 3-0 Vancouver.
Yes. Yes.
You know, here's my best advice for that. Hope the Flames take care of their business and let the other chips fall where they may.
That's right. That's what they have to do. One thing on the 3-0 score, I watched my Habs tonight jump out to a 3-0 lead as well, and you know what happened there.
I did.
I don't want to talk about it.
Our producer's a big Leafs fan.
Oh, no.
He's chuckling over there.
Yes, I imagine. Anyway, great win by the Flames because of Wolf. Love to see Kuzmenko score, and I loved Coronado's shot as well. Him and Kuzmenko's shots were fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, those are two of the best shots on the team, right?
Yeah. Lastly, it drives me nuts how often the Flames turn over the pucks that should be leaving their zone.
Yeah, I mean, tonight that was awful.
Yeah.
It's generally not that bad.
Not as bad as tonight, but it does happen. The first period in St. Louis, second game in St. Louis, the first period was awful as well. They just didn't show up at all. But hopefully they keep winning. And I'm not one of the pundits who say tank for picks. I want to see them in the playoffs.
Fair enough, Russ.
Yeah. Thank you. First time caller. Enjoy talking to you.
Hey, call back anytime. Love to have you. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Russ, be well, man. Let's say hello to Jared on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Jared?
Hey, Pat, how's it going?
Good, man.
That was a great game by Wolf. It's kind of exactly what you want to see out of your, you know, hopefully future number one goalie as he bounced back from a really tough night the other night. So that was really good.
And rare tough night, right?
Really good.
A rare tough
night. No, he hasn't been that bad really ever, so... You know, that was kind of more out of character for him the other night. So that was great to see him bounce back like that.
Absolutely.
Coleman was pretty solid again tonight too. He's always really good, but it was nice to see him get a couple assists. And the backhand flip was pretty sweet. Just dead center of the net on the empty netter.
Yeah, that was a good little chip shot.
Yeah. With both the goals, I know like Megan Mickelson was talking the other day about the Flames got to cross the middle of the ice, like the Royal Road or whatever.
Yeah.
It seemed like both goals tonight were the Coronado, not as much, but still they were both kind of from one side to the other, and that just makes the goalie move. And that was kind of, that's what we need to see out of the Flames is cross ice passes in the offensive zone, not in the neutral zone or in their own zone, but in the offensive zone, it's good to see when they can actually, you know, capitalize on that and find seams.
For sure. And it was good to see them pass away from pressure, right? Like it was Jets had overloaded on the one side, and Karens made a nice move to enter the zone and keep possession, and then Coleman saw that there was all the white ice on the other side, so he flung it over, saw Kuzmenko. It was a perfect pass, and Kuzmenko didn't hesitate to rip it past Comrie. So, you know, they utilized the weak side of the ice really nicely there.
Yeah, no, that was definitely play by Karens at the blue line was really great. I mean, without Zeri right now, like, we don't have a guy that's getting us into the zone as much. So it was nice to see Karens kind of fill that role a little bit with his zone entry on the power play. And then Kuzmenko, yeah, that shot was unreal. That was a sick shot. So hopefully that can get him going. That was a pretty funny post-game interview from him.
Yeah, as per usual.
Yeah, he's pretty hilarious. So I love the guy, but, you know, it'd be nice if he could figure it out. It's tough when you can't score for that many games, and that's his kind of his game.
Yeah, and I mean, this hopefully is a nice lesson where they can say, hey, Andre, shoot the thing. Look what happens when you do.
Yeah, exactly. He's got an unreal shot, so it'd be nice if he could start shooting it a little more. It was almost like that's what we were telling Huberto to do, hey?
Yeah, but I mean, Huberto's best weapon isn't his shot, right? It's, and not to say it's a bad shot, but like Kuzmenko's primary offensive weapon, he's very skilled, he's got good offensive vision, lots of other stuff, but the shot is the thing that is the most explosive thing that he possesses, so use it more.
Definitely. Do you think maybe they could try him on that first line spot with Kadri and Huberto at all? I mean, I know he hasn't been playing great, so it's tough to just put him right there, but that could be maybe one way to get him going a little bit.
Potentially, if he earns it, like, there'd have to be a long, long stretch of better play. I'd be more inclined to see Coronado there, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I think Coronado definitely deserves it. One other thing with Coronado, do you think maybe they put him on the kind of the Ovi spot on the power play? I know we had a couple one-timers tonight, but they were from the other side. And that's the goalie's glove side, so it's harder to get the 1T to go on that side. It'd be nice if we had it on the kind of the Ovi side where it's the right-hand shot taking that one-timer. And Coronado seems to be kind of the only guy we have that could do that.
I'd be curious to see if they do think about that down the road. Kind of have him on the offside and see if he can start, because he does it. He, even on the goal that he scored tonight, did a nice job of finding that open ice and you know, getting an easy outlet from Coleman because he was able to find that soft spot and then just ripped it past Comrie. So yeah, it's something that I'd be interested in seeing. Probably not this season, but maybe if they go down that road down the road, I'd be interested in that.
Sweet. What kind of move do you think the Flames might make in the next, you know, in the coming month-ish before the trade deadline? Is there any, like, do you know if there's any good right shot center options or anything that they could trade for, or?
Well, it depends, right? Like, it depends. It's so, like, is Dylan Cousins going to be available? I don't know. His name's out there a lot, and people talk about him a lot because Buffalo is reeling, and it feels like they might make some moves, but are they actually willing to give up on a 23-year-old right shot center? I don't know. So that's one example. I mean, Buffalo is the worst team in the Eastern Conference right now. So everybody looks at them and says, well, you know, they'd be a team that could give up player A or player B, and Cousins has had his name out there all season long, but I don't know what their desire is to trade him. But that could, you know, that's the one that's really interesting to me. Is there an ability to get a player like that? You know, still in his early 20s, right shot. We know he's got high-end offensive upside. He's basically a local guy. Not quite. I mean, he's a Whitehorse guy and played his junior hockey in Lethbridge, but he's a Western Canadian guy. And so that would be the most desirable option that I could look at.
What do you think, like, the Flames would have to give up to get somebody like that? Like, is
a
that
lot.
Something you think we could do?
A lot. Like,
we're
talking probably, like, high-end roster player, or not high-end, but like an important roster player, first-round pick, good prospect. That's kind of what you're talking about if Cousins moves. Like, maybe a little, maybe not quite the same as the Eichel trade, but the Eichel trade's tough to compare because there is all the questions about the neck surgery, right? Like, we didn't know.
Yeah.
So probably comparable to the Eichel trade, maybe a little bit less.
Fair. I mean, I guess I wouldn't really take that chance right now this year, even just like I say, just kind of let the chips fall and see how the rest of it goes before we make like a big decision like that in the middle of our rebuild plan, if you call it that.
See, like if they were to get a guy like Cousins, that would be part, like it would be in line with the plan. So I'd be okay. I'd be a little more okay with that. If they were to go and get, you know, a 30-year-old center, I'd be a little bit more confused by it.
Definitely. All right. Well, thank you, Pat. That was a much better effort from the Flames tonight. I mean, they didn't play great, but Wolf played great, and they were opportunistic at least. So that was good to see them get a few goals tonight.
Absolutely. You be well, Jared. And hey, keep calling from St. Louis anytime you want.
Will do. Have a good one, Pat.
Okay, man. Let's say hello to Dylan on the phone lines tonight. What's going on, Dylan?
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Good. I thought tonight was, good. Yeah, I think everyone is right, and you yourself is right. I think Wolf is, I think we could be talking about a huge piece of the puzzle. Now, with goalies, I find we have to see what they're like once the league's got a playbook on them. So that'll be next year. We'll see what he's like. And then the year after, you see. Goalies are a tricky thing. They're an extremely tricky position in this sport to figure out. But I think, I mean, Wolf's got the mentality. That mind is unbelievable. You can just look at him and see that guy is calm. He's collected. He's just fine to go out there and hang out and, you know, if he makes saves, he makes saves. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I think that guy has got championship caliber mentality. What do you think?
I mean, everything that he has shown so far would suggest that is an accurate statement.
Yeah, I would agree. You know what? I think if they make the playoffs and, who cares if they get swept? You know what kind of that experience does for, like, Wolf and those guys? That is huge. You can't discredit how good it would be for all those young guys and plus everybody else to make the playoffs for this team. I don't know how you could root against it. Like, you're not, especially this year, you're not getting a high-end pick either way. You might as well forget it. You might as well sit here and root for the playoffs if you're a fan, I think. I don't think there's any sense in sitting here hoping they lose. We can't have a Buffalo 2.0. That's not going to work for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a fascinating conversation, Dylan, because how do they get their foundational pieces? That's what the argument is on the other side. And then I keep going back to every Stanley Cup winner in the modern, you know, since the lockout pretty much has had a top five pick on their roster and multiple top picks for a lot of them. How do you get yourself to win a Stanley Cup if there are a few things that seem to be constants on every team? Where did the Flames get their top five pick from? And that's where, you know, the play devil's advocate, that's where a lot of people are like, is this the best thing for the team? That's where they're coming from.
But I guess there's like nothing you can do. Like, what are you going to do? Just buy out Huberdeau or like trade these guys somehow? There's no way that you'd be able to get this team really less competitive. I guess trading Raz would be the only real thing I think that you could do to make that happen. You're not going to move Uyghur. I think that'd be a mistake. Guys like Coleman, you don't just trade these people out. Vegas is the only one where they've been able to just trade culture people like, you know, Marchessault and Fleury out, and it's kind of worked for him. Actually, it did work for him. They won a championship. But I don't think that's a realistic idea with this group. I just don't think it is. It's just a different contract, the personnel here is different. Just like you said earlier, I think, you did say that. There was a high chance that they could have been competitive this year, and there was also a high chance that they would have completely sunk. It's a complete 50-50, but I really don't think this team can be bad enough to acquire those high-end assets.
Yeah, which I never thought they were going to be like top of the lottery conversation at any point. It still does beg the question: how do they find their number one center? But that I don't think is something that we solve on Saturday night.
I mean, I mean, I'm a GM, and I can't even solve it. So it's really crazy. But
you know what, like, you know what I'm saying? Like all the cup winners have got that guy, right? I mean, you go and take a look at who's won the cups. I mean, from Doughty to Taves and Kane to Eichel to Barkov and Ekblad, just like you go down the list of all these cup winners, they've all got that guy. And so if you're the Flames, where do you find your foundational piece? And I think they've got one in Wolf. I really do. Maybe they've got one in Parekh. Maybe they've got one in another one of the defensemen. I don't know. But do they have one at forward? I think you can, with no disrespect to Zeri or Coronado, but those aren't like that's not your number one center. And
no. That's
the guy they got to find.
Yep. Nobody wins without those guys. Same with the top D. You have to have a top D. No, not a lot of teams win without a pure top D. We've talked about it before. There's only a handful of teams that were able to do it. You could maybe say John Carlson wasn't, but at that time I would say he was with the Caps. The Penguins won without Letang in one of those years, and so Trevor Daley somehow ran the show.
Yeah,
but
that's what he did.
It's kind of crazy, but no, I still do think you need a top high-end D, and like we said, whether Parekh can do that or not, I mean, time will tell. You never know with some of these picks. Players can pop out of nowhere. You just have to, and the Flames generally do really good at developing. I mean, they've drafted a lot of mid-round picks and have got them to play games, and that is an excess in its own. If you can get mid-round picks and play NHL games, that's huge.
Agreed.
So you gotta, I've been hard on the scouting department, and rightfully so. They've made some strange decisions. I think they've really turned a corner. I think with Craig on board, I think they've really got this thing going, Jerome. I've heard from a few people that Craig's got an eye. Craig Conroy has an eye for talent, and I got to believe that he's going to be able to help us get those good pieces. But, yeah, you're right. We still have to draft high end. Nice to see Kuzmenko get one, man. That was a goal scorer's goal. That guy's got so much talent. I really hope he can get it going. But yeah, I know, like you said there, he's a great teammate. He just wants to help the team win because he probably, like you said, feels that he needs to help them win and he needs to contribute to help that. So really good to see him. I really hope this can be the beginning of something because, I think they're going to need him if they're going to want to make a push.
Probably, especially as Zeri continues to be on the shelf. So they're going to need some offense from somewhere.
Do you know anything about that? What is like, he's not, is there, what have you heard on that? Do you know anything or on Zeri?
In terms of a finite timeline, we don't really know at this point.
No. Okay. Interesting. You know what? It's a shame. He was having a really good year. What else was I going to say? Geez, I don't know. I forget. Okay, Pat, good enough. I thought, yeah. Good. We'll maybe we'll talk to you against the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay, buddy. Good to hear from you, Dylan.
Yeah, you as well. You take care.
Thanks, man. You as well. Say hello to Francesco. What's up, Francesco? Francesco. Going once. Going
hello,
twice.
Pat.
Going.
Hey.
Oh, you just made it. You just made it. What's up?
I just made it. I was just stretching, man. Like, I was in a cramped space. How are you doing in the hot stove lounge?
I'm not there, but I'm good.
Oh, okay. Where are you at? In Canmore, eh?
No, I'm in our downtown studio.
Okay. Well, you know, I call in because I want to be part of the team. And when the team breaks down, we break down with them. So we all want to help, I believe, and that's why I call in. What a great performance by the Flames tonight, but little shout out to the Northwest Calgary Flames in Canmore. They played a heck of a game. Two of their guys almost had hat tricks tonight, but I wasn't able to watch the game. And you know, if I could be positive about something with Wolf, not be joking around, I just want to send a howl out to him, if you will. But what else to say? The guy, everyone talking about him, he's too small. Whatever, I think we just got
there. I gave you a howl.
Can I do one back?
Sure.
Oh! Oh!
Not bad. Not bad.
He's not too small. Everybody, come on. Like, we need better techs coming through these days. Like, he's proven himself. He just beat Winnipeg Jets 39 out of 30, you know, whatever the shots was, man. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Like, he got outshot big time. And, you know, Dr. Coronado opening up the surgery there with his precision, and my buddy Kuz there with the insurance marker and the game winner. You know, second goal of the year. But, buddy, just Frank Musil used to say, skate hard, shoot puck. Just shoot it more often, and that's all I can say for him to be positive. But who's this negative Ned you guys are talking about?
Just the guy that I made up for the sake of a conversation with Ryan.
I thought you were talking about Ned Flanders, and you know who I called Ned Flanders on an earlier episode. I'm sorry. I believe in you, Kadri, and you know what? The Flames are looking great. I don't know what else to say, man, but I'm here in Canmore and really inspired by the Flames' win tonight. And you know, I'm just gonna let you go, man. I gotta go. See you later.
All right, bye, Francesco.
Love you, buddy.
You too, man. I never know what to expect at a Francesco call. But, so again, much like Ryan and a few other guys, keeps me on my toes. Great stuff on the phone lines tonight. Great stuff on the text line tonight. Appreciate all of the input as per usual following a Flames 3-1 win on the road in Winnipeg. As we move to our final summary tonight after this one. Flames never trailed, and they opened the scoring at the 13:32 mark of the first period. Matt Coronado absolutely hammers home his 11th of the season from Blake Coleman to give the Flames a 1-0 lead after 20 minutes of play. In the second period, it was Andrei Kuzmenko bulging the lead to 2. He snaps a goalless drought at 28 games with a power play goal at 15-14. Kuzmenko's second from Coleman and Rory Karens, and the Flames had themselves a 2-0 lead as Dustin Wolf had backstopped them to that point and an opportunistic Flames team with the lead. Now, early in the third, Jets, who had been pushing all night, finally get one, and this was kind of the worst-case scenario in the third period for the Flames because Adam Lowry scores in the first 3 minutes to make it 2-1. He redirects home his 11th of the year. Lowry from Colin Miller and Logan Stanley at 2:15 to make it 2-1, and you're like, oh boy, Jets could be in business, and watch out. Well, you know what? Dustin Wolf knew that too because he managed the game well. He shut the door, didn't allow another one. A number of high-quality stops on some 10-bell chances from the Jets. And then with just over a minute to go, the Flames seal it into an empty net. Blake Coleman, kind of a backhand chip shot from, like, I don't know, 170 feet. And Coleman gets it to go in between the two posts into the empty net to seal this one. Coleman's 10th and third point of the night, an unassisted goal at 18:55 to bring us to our 3-1 final score. Final shots 39-22 in favor of the Jets. Flames go 1-for-2 on the power play. Winnipeg 0-for-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight in the building, number 3, Blake Coleman, number 2, Nikolai Ehlers, and your number 1 star tonight, 38 stops on 39 shots, Dustin Wolf, your number 1 star. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was also Dustin Wolf. With the win, Flames improved to 22-16-7. They're back in action Thursday at home to Buffalo, while Winnipeg drops to 31-13-3. They're back in action Monday on the road in Utah. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for outstanding producer Connor Gronsdahl, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show this evening. It's available every night on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever
wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, they've got a four-day break. They're back at it Thursday when they host the Buffalo Sabres for a one-off at home. That's a 7 o'clock face-off. We'll be on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Final score from Winnipeg tonight. Flames 3, Jets 1. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.